All right. Our political analyst is John Fritchie, unpaid position, unfortunately. Now, John is a longtime state legislator in this fair town, Chicago guy, grew up in this town, knows the streets, understands the politics of all of this. You were there for many of the craziest things over the last two decades that have happened in Springfield and in this town. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, when you look back on it now, it sure is. Yeah. Even by our standards.
I would like to, and I want to talk about a couple different things here with you, because we got an election coming up in just a couple of weeks, right? We're 3 weeks out, 3 weeks from tomorrow. I love a St. Patrick's Day election. That's my favorite thing. The nothing screams Chicago like that St. Patrick's Day parade. You're going to have the back-to-back on that Saturday before downtown, that Sunday before Southside Irish Parade, and they're going to be crawling all over each other. Right, the state's attorney's candidates, the people that no one ever heard of, where all of a sudden you're starting to get mailers, right? You're starting to get a big like cardboard thing in your mailbox, and with a picture of somebody who's always got their arms around kids.
Of course,
yeah. Saddam Hussein had his arm around kids at the end too. I don't think that necessarily worked.
Well, but early voting that Saturday should be interesting too. The day of the parade.
Oh, right. You're supposed to not be drunk when you go into the polling place, right? Or is there a rule about that?
I've seen people make some bad decisions sober, so...
They used to have polling places in bars until the 1950s, and then they thought, well, maybe that's not such a good idea.
Well, actually, you know what? A spot that you and I used to go to every now and then, Club Lucky, was a polling place for years and years. It may actually still be.
But they won't serve the alcohol during the polling. Isn't that the...
Ish.
Okay, it's Chicago. I'm just going to guess that they're not doing that. I'm just going to guess because I think that that's the right thing to guess. All right, let's talk about Jussie Smollett for a second here. First of all, you're also an attorney. Tell me your thoughts on Jussie Smollett coming back to Chicago. Interesting circumstance here because his lawyers are saying he's going to take this thing to the mat.
Well, I've got to tell you what, this thing's taken more twists and turns. And, you know, the best thing he could have done, ironically, would have been to cop to it in the beginning.
Sure.
Because, other than to Jussie, I don't know that anybody has any doubt that he made the whole story up. And now it's not just that he made it up. It's he doubled down, then he tripled down. And, you know, now we've got a situation where you're going through court resources again. You're tying up public time. You know, there's attention that could be spent on other places. And, you know, city's involved in a lawsuit. You've got Jussie now facing, six criminal counts of disorderly. And those are all carry jail time potentially and a fine. Each count, I think, carries up to about a $25,000 fine.
Be ironic in this moment of bail justice and all the rest of that and letting people out for doing things that he's the one guy who gets 10-year bid in the system.
Right.
Just for being a general mope.
Well, there's a cell that opened up in Colorado. So
wait, hold on. Don't get ahead of that. Because I want your thoughts on the return of Rob Blagojevich. You knew him very well. So it'll be very interesting to see what your thoughts are. But that's coming up after the break. All right. But on Jussie Smollett. He will have to come back and face something, right? He's going to have to keep coming back here. A trial. I mean, in Cook County Court, these things can take a long time. There's guys in county jail that are wait trial for 6 years. If they do, fast track him, then that's sort of against the whole of what they're calling for here.
Well, and, you know, it's a relatively straightforward case at this point. There's a couple of appeals that are going to hold this up. His lawyers are arguing that it would be double jeopardy. Saying that you're charging him again for essentially the same act, but it doesn't really apply.
But it doesn't apply.
It doesn't apply in a case like this, in my opinion, because he didn't go to trial. He didn't enter a plea.
Right.
So I think that goes by the wayside. Then the interesting aspect of this, too, is that they are saying that the special prosecutor who has charged him this time was improperly appointed because the state's attorney's office never formally recused themselves, despite what Kim Fox had said at the time. You know, if you're the state's attorney, You can't just recuse yourself. Recuse your entire office.
Right.
And that didn't happen here. So they're challenging the validity of the appointment of Dan Webb, which is actually an interesting call. I don't know where
because
it goes at the end
actually,
of the day.
It's interesting because it would be an appeal that could be won because the state's attorney's office screwed up.
Screwed up would be putting it mildly.
I'd use an F, but that's the thing. That would be the ultimate mistake by them in this, that they couldn't even, they would have to drop the whole thing because they didn't even properly figure out how to handle their own business. And it was very clear to me that they did not know what they were doing. You were in the state attorney general's office. You didn't work in the Cook County State's Attorney's office, but it's a similar kind of concept. It's a lot of lawyers working for, you know, it's government lawyers working either to prosecute people or to handle civil things. The Cook County State's Attorney's office is huge. There's a lot of lawyers. There are a lot of layers. There's a lot of bureaucracy. I am just amazed that with all the, and there's some really good people over there, the careerists at the top levels, they couldn't do their job. In my opinion, based on what I know about this, they weren't able to do their job. And they weren't able to get through to the current Cook County State's Attorney to say, look, we can't do it this way.
Well, and the fundamental issue when it comes to recusing yourself is, you know, this is a situation where they either knew or should have known that this wasn't a recusal. You know, that if she said, I'm recusing myself, then that whole office has to be like, okay, we're out.
Right.
We can get a special prosecutor, kick it out to DuPage, whatever it may be.
So DuPage wanted it.
So somebody in the chain of command had to say, no, that's not how a recusal works.
Right.
And the biggest issue now, one of the biggest issues, the next court date for the Smollett case is March 18th, the day after the primary. So, you know, Kim Fox is going to have to live with this one through the duration of the election.
Right. Well, maybe better than actually the day before. All right. Well, come back. I want to talk about the politics of that because Election Day is right around the corner and the return of Rob Blagojevich. And what does that mean for Cook County and Illinois Democrats? You used to be both of those. All right. Hold on one second. Here is Lauren Lapka. She's got the traffic and the weather. Rokan Show, right here, 720 WGN. John Fritchie, the Honorable John Fritchie, is with us. Used to be a state representative here, and he was a long time politician down in Springfield.
Public
servant, I'm sorry. Did I say politician? I didn't really mean it. And he's also, I think it should be mentioned, becoming a bit of a political pundit for things like this, because the truth of the matter is that you grew up in this as a child. You had your family was in politics and public service and all that, and you worked your way through seeing your way through that. And so you basically have 5 decades on the eyes of what has happened here. It should be noted. So, as just quickly, the only big race coming up in 3 weeks from tomorrow is the state attorney's race. That's the only sort of countywide thing that people are interested in. And you've got Kim Fox, the incumbent, who's Tony Preckwinkle, the president of the county board's handpicked person. You've got Bob Fioretti, longtime alderman, and he runs for everything now. If there's an opening, he goes. Donna Moore, who is an attorney in private practice, but at one point was in the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, her second time doing this. And Bill Conway, who's a newcomer to this, who is a kid who was in Naval Reserve. He was a city kid. He actually went to the same high school that you and I went to. He's been an attorney in private practice, and he's going to take it. But he had been in the states. He'd been in the office prior to that, Cook County State Attorney's Office. So those are your players here. Now, Kim Fox has got a problem because she's got the Jussie Smollett anchor, right? That she's carrying around with her. But she also has this justice reform issue. And you say that's a double-edged sword.
Well, it is a double-edged sword. And listen, I've been doing criminal justice reform work for almost 20 years from my time in the legislature and on the Cook County Board. You know, it's a critical issue, and it's great that it's taken the forefront that it has. But it is a double-edged sword because communities of color and communities, you know, white communities on the north side and northwest and southwest sides, you know, they're both impacted by this when you're seeing offenders that are going through a revolving door back into the streets to reoffend. That creates problems in the communities where they come from. And now you see a lot of people that formed Kim's base in the first time around, you know, Lakefront Progressives, folks like that. All of a sudden, when they start seeing more and more stories about carjackings, shootings, robberies, smash and grabs happening in Lincoln Park on Michigan Avenue, et cetera.
Right. Now, in their neighborhoods.
Now, granted, it's relative to what you're seeing on the south and west side and what these folks have had to live with for a long time. But all of a sudden, you know, if you're a progressive, you become a little bit less progressive and start saying, hey, we want to crack down on these folks. And so now you've lost Kim, State Attorney Fox's kind of main thrust here. So you have that coupled with the Jussie Smollett stuff coming back in the news at a terrible time for her. And, you know, it's a perfect storm for, I won't even call it an upset at this point. You know, that race is a toss-up. Conway's gotten a lot of momentum. He's had the resources to be on television for a while now, and he's going to stay up in the air. And, you know, you were seeing a state's attorney's race that is having millions and millions of dollars spent. And I would say right now that the trend is behind Conway. Time is not Kim Fox's friend right now. And, you know, for the folks that are anti-Fox, it'll be interesting to see what happens. You look at Moore and Fioretti, they're both polling around 4, 5, 6%, right in that range. Point blank, you know, and I know them both, neither one of them can win this race. If somebody doesn't want Kim Fox and they decide that they want to vote for somebody else, if these Fioretti and Moore supporters realize that their person's not going to win and they go to Conway, you know, this is, you know, it's trouble for Fox.
So you got to walk away for him. It's interesting you mentioned the North Side and downtown, all these places where condominium prices are high, and you got a lot of people living together. And this whole idea that Rahm Emanuel, when he was mayor of Chicago, would point to the fact that even though the population of Chicago was decreasing year by year by year, the average income in Chicago was going up, 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 and up because people were coming to Chicago for these high-tech jobs. If you're somebody from some other part of the world and you come to Chicago and you get a job that pays you, you know, close to six figures or over six figures or whatever it happens to be, and you end up moving downtown or into Lincoln Park or Gold Coast or any of those places, it's a totally different city than people see out in the neighborhoods, specifically in the really troubled neighborhoods, the crime-ridden neighborhoods in the South and West Side, right? Totally different world. And those kids who are in those neighborhoods, in that world, never see what downtown is. You know, I mean, we just did a charity event for this group of business leaders who are going out into those neighborhoods. And they're trying to grab kids who are doing well in school and bring them in for internships to downtown so they can see downtown or they can see businesses in the suburbs and they can get a sense of, you know, what the world is outside of their geographic boundary that they're afraid or incapable of coming out of economically. So that's been one of the great hopes to be able to make a change there. Here's the issue that once the crime that is associated with those neighborhoods, and again, it's mostly now carjackings, that's a predatory thing, right? It's not really, there are carjackings in bad neighborhoods, but it's, you know, it's a short term carjacking just so you got a car to shoot somebody with out of. But this, and that may be the same case here, but to come down and you're noticing it's higher end cars, it is on the streets of right around the Central Business District and the most expensive real estate in Chicago.
Well, and these things aren't just happening at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning. You know, they're happening at 7 in the evening, right. 1 in the afternoon. Same thing with the smash and grabs that you're seeing now. You know, it's not only that you really wouldn't see these before, but you're seeing them happen at 11 in the morning on a weekday. And this starts to get people's attention. And like you said, when people come to the city, they have to realize crime happens everywhere, right? And while you may not have as much crime in your neighborhood as there is in another neighborhood, if you start seeing more in your neighborhood generally, you're going to pay attention. Yeah. And right now, the blame's got to fall someplace that you know, people aren't as ready to put it on the police as they used to be. But they keep seeing these stories that somebody gets arrested on a gun charge, they're out on bail, or on a no bail, on a signature, and they reoffend when they're out there. I think the Tribune study said that they had, what, maybe 21 cases of people that are charged with murder right now that were out on other pending cases.
And the attempted murder case, I just keep bringing this up. I'm sorry to keep bringing it up, but it I don't think it can go unnoticed. So each one teach one here. There was it right after Officer Jimenez was shot dead at Mercy Hospital in the fall of 2018, during a response to an active shooter case. The next day, there was a Chicago police officer shot at point-blank range in the back by an offender who was trying to kill him. He survived because he was wearing a vest. The offender goes to county jail, is able to post $5,000 bail in his home on electronic monitoring. Now, your argument, I asked Kim Fox about this when she was here. The argument there, well, it's the judges. You know, the judges are the ones that are assessing, that are handing down the bail, right? The ones that are calling for the bail. Theoretically, that's true. In the most basic theory case, it's true. In practicality, in reality, it is not the way it goes. There are the Cook County State's Attorney and the public defender or the private lawyer for that person. They come into court and they talk about this. Now, if you have somebody at point blank range trying to kill a cop, is $5,000 enough to keep somebody in? Now, it's a $50,000 bail, but you have to post 10%, right?
That's right.
So would $1 million bail be more or $2 million be more? So you have to post $100,000 or $200,000? Doesn't that make more sense? It's if you're going to give him bail, but I mean, there's no reason to let a guy like that out.
Right. And even then, it shouldn't just be an economic test. And that's what we had talked about at the beginning of this criminal justice reform efforts was it shouldn't be a means test. So don't keep somebody behind bars because they're too poor to post bail.
Right.
But the issue is some people shouldn't even be bail qualified. You know, if it's unlawful use of a weapon, something along those lines, you know, the argument on bail is, are they a risk to society? Are they a flight risk? If they're committing crimes out here with guns, you know, they are a risk to society. I proposed a bond to have a gun court several years ago, which was shot down by President Preckwinkle, no pun intended. And I thought there would be a quicker way for us to dispose of these things. But simply saying that, you know, I'm all in on criminal justice reform, so I'm going to let everybody out on a no cash bond system. You know, it's not working, and it contributes to the mentality of the offenders.
All right. Speaking of guys who are out, before we let you go, I got to know this. Rob Blagojevich, you served in the legislature with him. You served in Springfield when he was governor. What is your thought on his return?
The only thing that surprises me, I really wasn't surprised that he showed no remorse going into jail, but I thought 8 years away from his family, 8 years to reflect on this, you'd see some type of repenting on his part. You're just not seeing it. I think at this point now it's angling for a media gig, which he'll probably get.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's interesting that Chicago media, after the quick kind of 24-hour cycle, they said, hey, wait a second. You know, this is the guy that shook down the hospital, et cetera.
Right.
You know, we're ready to move on.
It ended pretty quickly.
But I don't think we've heard the last of him.
Although, there was a great moment. John Fritchie, who's now an attorney and a political pundit himself, but was in state legislature, and as you mentioned, Cook County Commissioner for a number of years. This is an amazing moment on CNN where Anderson Cooper gets so mad at Rob Blagojevich. This happened on Friday night. He gets so mad at Rob Blagojevich that he can't help himself. He has to swear.
Right. Anderson Cooper took him to church, as they would say.
Right. He goes, they were debating this whole idea of, you know, Blagojevich made a bunch of assertions that were clearly not true, but he figured he's on national press. People won't remember exactly what it was. Nobody did their research, and he's going to be able to get past them by doing that. That's an assumption a lot of politicians make. And he was wrong because Anderson Cooper had the whole thing down. And basically Anderson Cooper just turns to Rob Blagojevich and says, everything you just said is bull. What?
Yeah, I've got to tell you, I don't think Rod expected that. I know I didn't. Anderson was very well prepared. You know, Rod kind of had that look on his face by the time it was done that, you know, he wanted to be on the next plane back to Colorado.
Right. How are my guys doing back there? You know, it is interesting. He is incredibly talented as a public speaker and as a guy making an argument. His great skill, he could have been one of the great orator attorneys in this town's history.
And he really, you know, I think that there is a place for him, and I think I think that, you know, there's a message that he could take, but I don't think that anybody can hear him until he says, I was wrong, I did it, I'm sorry, now let me talk about hair products. I don't know.
Right, exactly. Well, we'll see. I mean, that was tried. My former station hired him in between trials to be a talk show host, and it's a great novelty. It lasts for a little while, but
Dan Roskinkowski was doing political commentary after
sure.
He got done too.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect that maybe it's possible that Rod Blagojevich ends up on a TV desk 3 weeks from tomorrow night for that. John, thank you very much for being with us.
Bro,
really appreciate
a pleasure.
It. All right. Plus the Four Seasons Blackhawks giveaway coming up right after this.